reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first lesson is taken from the book of Numbers, page 166 in your pew Bibles. And we read Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4. From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a servant bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1136 in your pew Bibles. And we read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is from John 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Please be seated. I might have touched on this a few weeks ago in another sermon, but failure is good for children. That may seem counterintuitive. Who likes to fail? But it turns out in study after study that children who do not experience failure, particularly at a young age, when they encounter even small difficulties later in life, simply collapse and give up. However, when they fail, young in life, and particularly when they're encouraged by parents to try again and pointed to maybe different resources and options, and learn that they can overcome their failures, they become more self-confident, more willing to tackle difficult problems, and not just at a young age, but all throughout their lives. If you will, failure strengthens them. What is damaging to children is not failure, but the fear of it. The more afraid they are of failing, the less they try. Realizing that about our life perhaps gives us a better understanding of God's choice of our redemption, and even what he did back in the wilderness when he sent those snakes into the camp of Israel and then provided a means that the people could be saved. Why would you have Moses make the symbol of their salvation the thing that was killing them? Think about that for a second. Snakes are coming into the camp, biting people. People are dying. And God tells Moses, make a snake, put it on a pole, tell him, look at the snake, and you'll live. Now, it was not self-confidence that God was trying to instill in his people when he told Moses to make that snake. It wasn't, if you will, faith in themselves and in their own ability that he was trying to inspire, but faith in him and his ability to conquer all things, even death itself. You're afraid of that snake? No, I tell you, look at it. Stare at it. Yeah, you by yourselves are powerless before it. But I can overcome all things. And if you believe in me, I will deliver you. One of the questions I've been asked throughout my ministry concerns the manner of our salvation. Why did Christ have to die? If God is almighty and all-powerful and can do all things, Why did Jesus have to endure so much suffering and so much pain and even death itself that we might be redeemed? There's a lot of different ways we can approach that question. But I do believe that one of the reasons God chose that particular means of salvation, why He was willing to have His own Son endure all things, even the cross itself, is to tell us something about our fears. If there's one thing we probably fear more than failure, it's death. If you will, death is the ultimate failure. It is the end of all things. We can overcome some of our failures in life, but who can overcome death? It seems like the greatest of all barriers. But with God, nothing is impossible. When we put our faith and trust in Him, we can, as the Apostle Paul once writes, do all things in Christ who gives us strength. But how does God make that point clear to us? How does He indelibly etch that concept into our hearts and our minds? He takes the thing that we fear most and He holds it up before our eyes as the sign of our redemption. It is rather strange that we have one of the cruelest torture devices ever devised by man as the most prominent piece of furniture in every Christian church that I know of. We come in here and we look at the cross, a thing of pain and suffering and cruelty and death. And we say, there's where my salvation was won. And if God can conquer all that for us, what can't He conquer? If we trust in Him and believe in Him and follow Him. Yeah, there are going to be problems and troubles and trials and temptations that we are going to experience in life. But that's not the thing that destroys us. It's the fear of those things that is the real enemy. And in Christ Jesus, in His cross, and in the day of resurrection, God has told us loud and clear, we have nothing to fear. Not because of our own strengths or our own talents or our own cleverness, but because we have a mighty God who fights for us, who, even when we fail in life, even when we fail in doing what He tells us we should do, comes to us and lifts us up and says, don't be afraid. Just trust Me. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.